parables. We're using Herbert Walker's book, All the Parables of the Bible, and we're studying about a very unusual parable tonight. A parable that many people misunderstand because they already have an idea of what they want it to mean. This parable is a very brief parable. I'm going to read it to you before we get into some other scriptures. And it is brief. Do not give what is holy to dogs. Do not give what is holy to dogs. Do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Do not give what is holy to dogs. Do not throw your pearls before swine. Now the old King James is, do not cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Now let's go to Luke. Luke, the 19th chapter. Casting your pearls before swine. Do not cast your pearls before swine. Sometimes we waste our time. I have tried in my life to lead people out of cults. And I will take as much time as I can to try to show them that Jesus Christ is the Savior, that Jesus Christ is God, Jehovah of the Old Testament, that was born of a woman at the right time, under the law, made of a woman. Just the right time Jesus came into this world and lived a perfect life, a sinless life. He died on the cross of Calvary, was buried in a tomb, was raised after 3 days, and he lives forevermore. He died for our sins and was raised for our justification. Now that's a basic Bible doctrine. That's basic. Many people now, there are very many holy ways as we study the tabernacle here. The tabernacle is a type of Christ primarily, but also it is a type of the church in the church age. Now, you can't teach anybody about the church unless they know about the Savior. Until they come to this point, don't try to tell anybody about the church or the holy ordinance or anything else until they get across in their mind that Jesus Christ is God the Son. Now, Israel was supposed to know that Jesus came to die for them. Now, Jesus in Luke, the 19th chapter, verses 41 through 44, I want to read this. Jesus casts pearls before swine. Now, many people say that pearls look like corn. Well, they do. But the only problem with pearls and corn is, in the Bible days, they didn't have any corn over there. But they did have wheat and barley. And if you soak wheat and barley, it does look like a pearl. And it's soft. And the hogs will eat it. But if you cast pearls before swine, they will reach down, and a pearl is a rock, pretty much. And calcium carbonate, I think is what it's called. And you put something down for these pigs used to eating softened wheat or barley, and you throw that down, and it's like eating gravel. They might be able to turn on you because you're a lot softer than those pearls are. That's what Jesus did. He's telling us a very plain parable means to cast something physical besides something spiritual. Now let's look and see what it says here about casting pearls before swine. And when he approached, he saw the city, and he wept over it. He saw Jerusalem, and he's looking from the Mount of Olives, saying, if you had known in this day, even you, the things which make for peace, but now they have been hidden from your eyes. They've been hidden from their eyes because they didn't want to. They didn't want the Savior. They did not want Jesus. They knew who he was. They knew where he was born. Herod the Great asked the scribes and the priests to come in and tell him where the Savior is supposed to be born. And he said, in Bethlehem. Yeah. Well, he's born. Well, Herod says, go down there and worship him, all right, and come back and tell me where he is, and I'll go worship him. And instead of that, he went down and killed. This is what we call the slaying of the innocents. Over 200 children were slain, according to many guesstimations, there in Bethlehem. Every child, every male child, 2 years old and below. For the day shall come upon you when your enemies will throw up a bank, a bulwark, and will surround you and hem you in on every side, and will level you to the ground and your children within you, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not want to recognize the season, the time of your visitation. In Matthew, the 23rd chapter. O Jerusalem, O Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to you. How often I wanted to gather your children together the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Now, sometimes animals got better sense than people. Jesus came to them and he called. He came to his own people. Remember the Syrophoenician woman that came in to Jesus and wanted him to come and heal her daughter? And he said, it's not right to cast pearls before swine, to give the children's meat unto the heathens, the dogs. It's not right. And she said, yes, Master, but even the little puppies eat from the master's table scraps. And he said, I have not seen so great a faith in Israel. He went into, in John the 4th chapter, he went into Samaria. And he spoke to the woman at the well, the harlot. She wasn't really a harlot, she was a loose woman. She had been married several times, and she's living with somebody else's husband now. Or he's living with her. And Jesus looked into her heart, and that woman repented of her sins and asked the Lord to save her. She believed him. She said, do we worship here on this mountain, Gerizim, or in Jerusalem? He said, you know not what to worship. We know over there in Jerusalem. But he said, comes a time, and now is, when people will not worship in a place, but in spirit and in truth. She went and gathered a whole group of people. A whole town came out and poured out toward him because of her witness. Do you have a witness? Do you have a witness? Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on, you will not see me until you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And that's a quotation, you know, from the Old Testament. Psalm 118:26. We see these things. Now let's go to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And look again in God's word. Casting pearls before swine. Those sayings in the last days he's talking about here, when there will be a great apostasy. Apostasy means to stand away from the truth. 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter, second chapter. Now we request you, brethren, with a regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gathering together to him, that you may not be quickly shaken out of your composure, or disturbed in your spirit or mind, or a message or a letter, as if it was from us, to effect that the day of the Lord has already come. Let no one lead you astray, for it will not come unless the apostasy, the standing way, comes first, and a man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts him above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Now, my own opinion, I believe this is talking about the world of Islam in the last days. We know that the Bible talks about the beast, the false prophet, and the Antichrist. Well, in the writings of Islam, Muhammad, the Sunnahs, the Hadith, and the Quran, it talks about a beast, a Mahdi, and a different Jesus. And they're going to allow them to make this Mahdi is going to reign for 7 years, and he's going to allow the Jews, he's going to make a contract, a hudnah, as the Islamic people call it. It's a false contract, and right in the middle of it, they're going to break it. That's what Muhammad did to Mecca. That's what Muhammad did in Medina. You make a contract until you get strong, and then you turn around and get them off their guard. Do you not remember that while I was still you, I was telling you these things? And you know that who restrains him now, so that in his time he may be revealed. The mystery of lawlessness, this is already at work, and only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way. And we talk about the church being raptured here. All the saved in the church and the Holy Spirit as a comforter in the world today will be taken out of the way. And then we see the beast, the false prophet, and the Antichrist come on the scene. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, Daniel, Ezekiel, 2 Thessalonians. And there will be 7 years of tribulation in the earth. There will be a 7-year contract made, and Israel will have a temple in Jerusalem. It also says in the Islamic writings that they will move the Kaaba stone from Mecca to Jerusalem and build a temple there. Jesus told Israel that their time of visitation had come, that he had cast pearls before those swine. They were the dogs, they were the hogs. Israel were the dogs and the hogs. They were not worthy of Jesus' words and parables or whatever, and they kept trying to kill him. They kept trying to kill him. Now Jesus is going to keep that contract, that unconditional covenant with Abraham and with Jacob, and Israel will rule and reign with him on earth for 1,000 years. But before that 1,000 years, he's got to clean them up. He's got to run them through a washing machine and scrub them down real good and get that ungodliness out of them, the religion out of them, and the worship of God in them. Religion out and worship of God in. And then the lawless one will be revealed from the Lord, who will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming, by the great shining of his coming. That is, the one whose coming is according to the activity of Satan, the energizing of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders. We see this in the book of Revelation and Daniel, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Malachi. We see all of this through the Gospels and 2 Thessalonians. With all the deception and wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, as to be saved, they were the swine, they were the dogs, they were the hogs and the dogs. And for this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they might believe a lie, what is false, and be damned, in order that they all may be judged who do not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. But we should always give thanks to our God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation, through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. You know, a child of God can do all the sins that a lost person can do, but I'll guarantee you one thing, you won't do them comfortably. You won't do them comfortably. You sin like the rest of the world, and God will tear your heart out. And it was for this reason He called you through our gospel, that you might gain glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions. Not to the Mishnah and the Talmud traditions, but to the writings of the New Testament, which you were taught, whether by word or mouth or by letter from us. This is the New Testament being written. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and deed. Let's go back again to Matthew, the 7th chapter and verse 6, and see if you understand this just a little bit better. Do not give that which is holy to dogs. In the 24th chapter of Genesis, Genesis 24 now, way back yonder, not Genesis 9, that is, 9 and verse 24. Genesis 9 and verse 24, there's a prophecy. When Noah woke from his wine and knew what his youngest son had done to him, he said, "Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants, and he shall be to his brothers." And he also said, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem." Shem are the Jews. Shem is the Jews. Okay? "Let Canaan be his servant." There's where they would go into the land of Canaan and into the milk, the land flowing with milk and honey. "May God enlarge Japheth." Japheth means spreading. And Japheth was spread all over the world and follow Ham and put Ham in slavery. That's what he's done. "And let him dwell in the tents of Shem." Now in the New Testament, when Jesus came, he cast pearls before many of those Gentiles. Many of those Samaritans believed. The Syrophoenician woman believed. Many lepers believed. Many crippled believed, many blind believed, but Israel did not want to believe. They were the swine, they were the hogs and the dogs. "Do not give what is holy to dogs. Do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and get mad because you gave them rocks and turn around and devour you. And tear you to pieces." Now, hogs are very powerful and very vicious animals. Very intelligent, too. Do you know the pearls of the Bible? The pearl of great price? The treasure in the field, hidden in the field? The pearl of great price. The pearl of great price is not salvation, people. The pearl of great price is you, if you're born again. The pearl of great price is the price that Jesus Christ paid for your sins to redeem you, and you are that which is precious and holy in the sight of your Lord and Savior. And then the man that found the treasure in the field went out and sold everything that he had so he could legally own the treasure in the field. The treasure in the field is you, my friend, if you're born again. The Lord Jesus Christ, the God of heaven, Jehovah God of the Old Testament, came forth, made of a woman, at the right season, made under the law. He was the seed of the woman in Genesis 3:15. He was our kinsman redeemer. Matthew tells us the lineage of Jesus through Joseph, his earthly father. Luke tells us the lineage of Jesus through his mother, the seed of the woman. And the seed of the woman does not give blood to the child. All the blood comes from the father. And sin comes from the blood. And the sin nature from the blood. And Jesus Christ had no blood from his earthly father. It was from God. Sinless blood. The kind that he breathed into Adam in the Garden of Eden. Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. He was born without sin. Made under the law, made of the woman. He came at the right time and the right place that we might have eternal life. If you do not have eternal life, it's not because God didn't send his son and die for you. Jesus Christ died for all man's sins. It's because you would not or will not believe and repent of your sins and call upon him and ask him to save your soul. Ask him to grant you repentance. Ask him to save your soul. In Jesus' name we ask this message go out. Father, I pray if there's a soul out there that hears that does not save, that they will be saved. And if they're saved out there, Father, help them to live a life that would be honoring to you. The change of heart, the change of life, the change of will, change of appetite. Father, forgive us for a failure. In Jesus' precious name we beg you and we ask you these things as we send this message out. Amen.